So, experience, getting wisdom, with wisdom, getting insight, getting understanding or experience, knowledge of God, it all comes together. The power in this obedience thing is taking a whole form for me already, and January is not even over. I watched my partners, the ones immediately here, which would be Nellie and Lindsay, get in their places or scrambling to stay in their places, because you know you can get in it and the enemy still try to drift you out, and you just got to just say, Holy Spirit, just guide me back. And I watched the words that God has had me speak. Come to pass with such power and such fire that has been scary. This month alone has probably had to be one of the most prosperous months of my life. Still in a pandemic. And I watched. And, you know, Nellie one day, I'm sure, will tell her story. Lindsay will tell hers one day. It's their story to tell. But I can tell you this. Comfort or provision, if you're not careful, can become a hindrance. When you get to see God move and you begin to see doors open up, it's very easy to take the attitude, let's just stay right here. Let's build a tabernacle to Elijah and Moses to Jesus, and let's just build it. And let's just stay. This is good. This is good. I watch for that in myself very, very closely, especially at this season and time of my life. Because obedience demands, are you listening? That you stay ready to move.
Yes. Amen.
I obey God. Hallelujah. Okay. No. Your life is a life of obedience. It's not a one-time event.
Right. Come on. Right.
You don't do it once and it's fixed. I prayed for God to make me pure. Okay. How'd you do? Well, for the first couple of years, it did okay. Okay. Then I got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and okay. Okay. So it's a practice. It's an ongoing, everyday submission. It's not a magic pill you took, and you were good. Prosperity is the same. Provision's the same. Oh, you think I'm making it up? Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty shall come in like an armed man. Basically come in and rob you. Now, I went back and forth with that one in the beginning. I had to go do some language lookup. Because Psalms 127 says, it is foolish to rise up early and go to bed late and eat the bread of anxious toil, because God blesses those who he beloves with rest, or while they sleep. And God says, so then obviously we're talking about two different kinds of slumber then, aren't we?
Yeah.
Rest versus indifference. Rest versus lethargy. Anxiety and working in anxiety goes against God. Getting so comfortable that you no longer listen is another form of slumber. You're not being watchful as the enemy walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's that kind of slumber he's referring to. The slumber of you accepting, I'll just keep dropping scriptures. Take heed if you think you stand lest you fall. All of these scriptures, God saying, your walk, are you listening? Is a ongoing commitment. I obeyed God. Okay. I forgave them. Did you? Why? I forgave them. Why'd you say it like that? And why'd you say it with that attitude? Did you really forgive? You forgave Monday. Where are you Tuesday? God checked you on Monday, and in that prayer, you forgave. Now you see them. And they still act as funky as they acted before you forgave them. Where are you today? Oh, can we have this conversation? So forgiveness is an ongoing process. Deliverance is an ongoing process. Nobody would stand in this room in front of me and I say to you, you need to have breakfast, and you look at me and say, I had breakfast last month. What are you talking about? I had breakfast. You have breakfast every day. Why do we think the spiritual things are by one and that's it, one and done? Aren't those things more important than the earthly things? Then why do we treat deliverance like it's not something that you got to take a dose every day? Healing is a dose every day. I got to be healed every day. I got to receive my healing, my vitamin H every day. I got to speak the word of healing and deliverance and prosperity and peace and soundness of mind and wholeness every day. That's my dose. So I watched as people got comfortable, including myself, with yesterday's deliverance, yesterday's healing, yesterday's blessing, yesterday's increase, yesterday's prosperity. Glory to God. Look at Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, but I've moved up to the next level. You still down here. Talking about, look at Jesus. Jesus ain't nowhere in here now. He done moved. You see, I don't want to talk about this. The cloud of fire by cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He said, watch it. And when it moves, prepare your provisions and follow it. You are required to follow truth. You're required to consistently seek out truth. Even if you've changed and repented, you're not done. Unless you believe you reach God's status and it's no longer necessary. And to the level that you've changed last, that's where you remain and you don't go from there. And eventually you begin to slip back. Because if the support system is moved on and you're still in the same place, you're trying to operate something now that was spiritual from the flesh, and it's not going to work. Now, without going into detail, I would say this comfortably with no bite my tongue. I watched you go from not having anything to God providing for you. Amen. Greatly. And I watched you getting comfortable. And I said, oh boy, here we go. Before I would say, okay, here's the instruction of the Lord, it would be like, thank you, prophet. Amen. And they'd be like, I hear what you're saying, but... And you start to see that. And then I start to go, okay. And we watched the business totally dry up. We saw that happen for fear the same way. All these deals sitting on the table, and all of a sudden, no call, no explanation, no nothing, just gone. Then I saw the lineup. So you repent. Not to me. You had repented to me a million times and did the same thing the next day. But this time you repented to God. And I remember you saying, against you and you only have I sinned, to God. And God said, now we could do something. But still every now and then I have to say, whoa, what's that look ugly right there. That's some of that old stuff. You better catch that. Check it. So me and the other partner spoke, and I said, why do you think everything's drying up? She said, I don't know. I don't understand this. I've never had this in my life. Have you gotten comfortable? Do you now instruct God instead of letting God instruct you? Have you figured out the formula now? And so now you expect God to flow in that formula because now you saw what he did. So now you know what he did. So I don't even need to learn no new prayers. I'm just going to keep using this one. I'm not saying that's the case. Like I said, that's her story to tell. She can tell why. But I never forget. We spoke Tuesday, I think it was. Tuesday? And I said, here's what God gave me. So I'm going to hold my mouth. But here's what God gave me. And if you're willing to receive this, we can pray and we can straighten this out. Shared the word. Word was received. Literally, I'm getting calls all day. My phone has not stopped ringing. People are booking. Literally, the place was, every chair was filled. We had two people working, two workers working. Place was stacked, and she's like on the phone. I'm telling people, can you come next week? No, I'm booked. Literally, within a couple of hours, if that long, it all started flooding in. And I saw something about God that I kind of understood but never saw before. God just needs you to be in line. He don't need your help. He just needs you to obey. He just needs you to line up even if it don't make sense. He needs you to stand where he called you to stand even if it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to talk about me now. God's been speaking to me for a couple of weeks. I need you to make a prayer list. Well, I say that and it sounds nice, but I'm going to tell you that God has been off and on mentioning that to me for the past maybe 2 years. My prayer list is in here. I know what I believe for. Glory to God. Can somebody say disobedience? Subtle. In my mind, what is disobedience? God said, I'm trying to do things that you and I have been agreeing for in this season. And this time he said, I'm not going any further until you do what I said. You haven't written a prayer list in over 30 years. Well, I'm good. You ain't good what I've called you to be good. You good in what you've achieved good. So I started putting the list together. And after I got the list together, then he said, now put numbers next to each business. Now you got to remember, I'm involved, which to me is still amazing how I'm doing it. But what, six businesses now? Six, maybe seven? I'm six. So, whatever. How I'm balancing them all, I have no idea. But I'm doing it. And so I start writing numbers for the year next to the business. And after I finished, he said, he's talking to me in real time. You know how he does. You good with those numbers? The fact that you're asking me that, you know I'm not good with it. And you know that I know that you know that I know. So I'm not good with it. He said, what's the number that I gave you years ago? 50. Are you close to that? Nope. And then you told everybody in Vision Builders to add a zero to it, which now puts you at 500. You're not even close to the first number before the zero was at. What was the point? What was the point of that transaction, that conversation, that move of God? We're still talking about obedience. What was the point of God saying to me, No, I've been telling you for years, but I'm telling you now, and we're going no further until you write down your list. And I said, okay, in obedience, there it is, written down. Okay, now put numbers next to it. You're not even at 50 mil. You're not even near your 50 mil. And now you want to understand, and I want you to understand that there's something was happening there. What was happening there? Anybody want to try? Yes, Esther. Practicing obedience, okay, that's a simple answer. It's deeper than that. Yes, Jericho. You're on the track. You're on the right track. You stop lowering your worth. He gave you a number. Don't go on that. You're on the right track. But something was happening there. No? No takers? He was showing me what I believe versus what I confessed. See, it's easy to confess 50 million. But now I just showed you from your list that you don't really believe that. But I thought I did. I was confessing it real strong. With power and unity and justice for all. But when it came time for my spirit to pour out what I really believed, I found out my lack of obedience to write that list when he told me to was keeping me outside of the blessing that he intended for me. Ooh, you're so quiet. So as I started writing down the numbers, I came to the realization that something I said to you last week, your confession versus your declaration. Church people are good crap talkers. Good fronters. But now when it comes time to do, where are you really? And when I looked at those numbers and I realized that those numbers were so far off of what I said I was believing for, I was like, well, God, maybe it's, you know, can I put it for a couple of years? He said, no. The statement was you were believing that for that this year. Oh, you're quiet up in here. So I told you to write down each business and put a number next to each business of what you believe you would receive this year, and it did not even come close to the number, the first number. Somebody shout obedience.
Obedience.
That didn't sound like a shout to me. Shout obedience.
Obedience.
So then I had to sit down and pray and come back to that list. Made a little adjustment, totaled it up. Nope. And God said, what does it cost you to believe? Huh. So I realized that my confession didn't line up with my declaration. Once again, and I decided that I needed to have a real conversation with the Lord about myself. Not about the image of myself, not about my perceived righteousness or right standing, but the real one. I begin to realize that a lot of us can talk big talk, even in the things of God, until we are confronted. Until we are challenged by the enemy or by life or by situations to prove that we believe what we say we believe. And then what we really believe comes out, and that's the number, and that's the mark, and that's what's recorded in the books, and that's what the enemy holds up, and that's what you are now tied to. So I'll come to people and they'll say something. I'll say, you know what you just said? No, but that's not what I meant. But you know what you said. No, but let me explain it to you. And then they give me a whole long, drawn-out explanation. I go, you good with that? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take that. I'm not going to debate it at all. And sometimes I don't agree at all, but I'm not going to debate it because I'm not trying to change your destiny. I'm trying to change mine. I'm just giving you the word, and hopefully you take the word and go before the Lord to change yours, because that's one journey I can't take with you. One person says, oh, amen to it. Praise God. So now, I looked at it, and I went back, and I said, well, Lord, can I at least just do the 50? I can do the 50. 500, I'm going to go over the 50. But I'm going to need now to sit before you until my spirit really receives that next number up. And I changed the numbers, and I submitted it. Now I take my prayer list out every day, and I look at it, and I speak over each business. I've spoken over the people that I know that God has shown me are to be part of or partners of what I'm doing, and then those who I know really are not or may not be. Some I know, some may not be, some I know is temporary, you know, people that I will have an affiliation with, but I won't work with. But I've noticed something powerful. So many people have come to me and says, I want to be a part of what you're doing in the past year that never came to me before. So I'm going to ask again, why? Why? What changed? It's a question. What changed that things are lining up now? And don't give me the cliche answer, and don't be super spiritual. Search your heart and really give me an answer from your heart. What changed that everything I needed to do what I need to do started coming together all of a sudden? And this was last year, from the video shoot to everything, and diversity and all this. And I want you to understand, every word I spoke has come to pass. That I would get into this diversity thing, within 6 months, I would be established. And then I told somebody else, by the beginning of next year, by the first quarter of 2021, I will be making more money than you. And that has already laid itself out. Got a first major opportunity, a major contract, and it's not even a one-time thing. They want to do an ongoing thing for the next 6 months to a year. Thank you. I didn't know anything about this a year ago. Don't tell me God is limited to your skill sets and abilities. If you've been obedient in what he's called you to do, all the skills to do all the other stuff, all the things that pertain to life and godliness, you already have. My question to you is, why now are things lining up so perfectly? Why? I'm waiting for answers. I'm really sitting here wanting you to participate. And I'm glad that it's making you think, because your faces look like my face looked when God said to me, put your number on the list. I was sitting there looking just like you. Numbers? And putting the numbers was one thing. But then looking at the numbers as I put them and knowing that they weren't totaling up close to what I said I believed. Yes, Jerrica? I took a stand and didn't move is absolutely correct. There's more to it. But you're absolutely right. So she opened the door. Y'all can jump in on it. Come on, Edward, you can't keep scratching your face. I know you got something. Yes, Nellie. That's good, too. I wasn't afraid to let go, change direction, and go in the direction that God has called me to. That's true, too. That's all true. It's all, you're all moving up the road. You're getting there.
My heart, my mindset lined up.
Obeying God. All of this is correct. There's something else, though. Wait, Angela? Right. Hold on, let me say this in the mic so people can hear. God had it all lined up way before I asked. Go ahead. Give the lady the creepy doll. That's why would God put people in place for you when you're not even in your place? Why would God put situations in place for you when you're not even in your place? What have you done to prepare to take on the task God has called you to? Where have you practiced and studied or prepared yourself to be ready so that he could put you in the place? Why he sent a bunch, especially his people, to you and you still bumbling around like an idiot figuring out what you're trying to do? Why would God open up opportunity for you? Angela says, like, they're throwing so many grants at the pantry right now. She's like, oh, my God, I'm being forced to spend thousands of dollars. You know how many pantries are struggling, trying to get money and stuff? And it's like, we got so much coming in there. But what if she did not start out handing out bags with bread and beans and rice every week that we picked up from Aldi's and macaroni and cheese, right? What if we didn't follow those processes of setting up the lobby and putting up counters downstairs? And I remember we just had the room in that room. And I take credit for this because I'm the visionary. I'm the one that said, well, we need to put shelves outside the room. No, we got to get bigger. I remember there was an order she wanted to send away because we ain't got no room for it. I said, we're sitting in the middle of the floor. We'll put it on top of cardboard boxes. We ain't sending no free food away. We receive it as it comes. And now what is it doing? But because we prepared. With your help, we got the people, the volunteers, because the church wouldn't volunteer. So we went outside, had to go outside the house and get volunteers because God's own people. Yet your N-words go downstairs and asking you to take free food, but you don't come and help the pantry. But that's a different story. And the people who come and help don't even ask for the food. I'm just saying. But our obedience to line up and do what he said each step. Set up the room. We need new refrigerators. We can't keep using. We started with a house refrigerator. We can't keep using the house refrigerator. We got to get real industrial refrigerators. All right. So we got those. Now we got like six of them. Three freezers, three refrigerators. All down there running and working and sucking up the electricity and whatever. But there they are. All right. We just went down there last week. Me and Angela take Monday and put up some more shelves and rearranged the whole basement and made more space for more stuff. We talking about, look, we need to move this gym equipment so we could set up some more stuff. They went down there and took the punching bag down home, Wayne. I was like, your N-words would not have permission to be taking down my stuff without talking to me. We put it right back up there and said, put your shelf another place. You don't have a right to take my space. Come to me, I'll show you how to set it up. But don't be messing around with my areas. Now, let me say something to you. All jokes aside, the ability to line up with the direction of God opens the door for the flow of God. Amen. So if there's an area of pride in yourself that you won't surrender, the door is closed. The flow is broken. Is an area of offense that you won't deal with? The door is closed. The flow is broken. Well, God has blessed me, though. I'm paying my bills. Yeah, and everybody I've seen that has prospered in this house or begin to prosper always hit this glass wall. They always get to a certain place and they're like, okay, so now what? Right, because God's grace is good, but you still got to surrender daily. You got to humble daily. You got to repent daily. You got to lay down your life, Scripture says, daily. Now, y'all could do better than that. That was the right word. It's a process. And you repeat the process until it becomes a habit. Amen. You wake up in the morning saying, okay, how do I lay this life down?
Hallelujah.
Not when I get stuck and I get in the corner and I feel rebuked. Well, now my finances have dried up, everything. Now let me lay it down. No, you wake up looking for the opportunity to surrender.
Amen. Yeah.
If somebody's getting the word, I guess somebody's being blessed by this. You wake up every day looking for the opportunity. Hallelujah. Because when you do that, you open the door for the flow of God.
Hallelujah.
Why would God make it available to you if you're not even ready yourself? He is faithful and just not to allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Why would he give you 50 million and he know you're going to go off on 20,000? You're going to get off your walking off track if he gave you half a million. Can we have this conversation?
Yes,
we can. See, we always look at that God won't allow you to be tempted above what you are able as something negative. Because you can be tempted to do wrong with positive. Deuteronomy 18. Is it 8:18? Don't forget when you get your godly houses and your good stuff. Don't forget, don't lose track that it's God who gave you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, not yours. Well, I'm going to buy me this. I'm going to get me that. I'm going to do me this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to treat my family. I'm going to buy my mama a house. Have you even spoke to God about any of this?
Come on.
You don't lay the whole plan out. Are you willing to die again today? Because God might speak to your behind and say, listen. Listen. I gave you this 50 million and I don't want you to keep it. I want to do something with it with you. And that's mine. Okay, well, we're going to find out how that's going to work. We're going to find out how that's going to work. One little thing is going to be all right. Whoop! One little stupid decision, gone. I was listening to somebody today talking about generational wealth. You know, I pay a close attention to this kind of stuff right now. I thought I'd be in my scriptures by now, but I'm just, is this okay? I was listening to somebody talking today about generational wealth, and I pay close attention to it because I plan to have that. And already to some degree have already begun to develop that. And trust funds and all kind of stuff that I want to set up so when I leave here, no chunk of money just goes to anybody so they could be stupid, but that it begins based on accomplishments and places in their life, money is released. I don't want my grandkids to be spoiled rich idiot grandkids. So I'm setting up trust funds where when you finish this level of education, you have this. If you build this business or start this business, you have that. When you get, you are not going to just come running through the money and wipe me out, even though I'm dead, you know, in a month. So I was just listening to this thing about generational wealth, and he was talking about how the Rockefellers set up their situation where their family to this day is still generations and generations in, still living off this wealth. Where the Vanderbilts, who were once the richest family, the last one recently died poor. Now, how does this happen? Because the information and instruction wasn't being passed down with the wealth. Caught that? The wisdom, the insight, the knowledge of God, the understanding wasn't being passed down with the money. Just the money was being passed. So, Jesus, I'll say it if you let me. So in the church, they started preaching prosperity and healing, but they didn't pass down the governing guidelines that go with it. They just said it's your confession, it's your claiming, you name it, you seek it, you put your hand on it, you write it on your refrigerator. Prayer, Jabez. You know, here we go. But surrender and holiness and purity and seeking truth above all things and dying to self and all the things that govern that flow wasn't passed. So the church began to squander it, and now you see the church having a person here and a person there who's got a ton of money, but then, you know, as you experience, you go to them after paying tithes and tithes and tithes for years and say, "Help me, I'm in trouble." And they go, "Oh, we don't do that in this church." You're about to get evicted. That, no, we don't do eviction blessings. We're not even going to look at the books and see if you've been a faithful tither. We just tell you, no, we don't do that. Because the rules of conduct didn't get passed on. Yet, in the small house that we have, it's been known that if you're in trouble, we'll help. And if you got a financial issue, if we don't help, I'll help myself. Because this is the biblical principles. Amen. Help the widow and the homeless. This is the biblical principles. This is what you do. Well, I sowed my seed. Okay, amen. And I gave a blessing to this person. Okay, and you can hear in their voice. Okay, I want my hundredfold. What about, did God tell you to bless that person? Did he tell you to help that person? Did you do that to obligate God to some money to you? Or were you led with a humbled, quiet, dead to self spirit to be obedient to God? Because here's what I find to be very, very interesting. God will tell me to help somebody I have no desire or want to help. And all the people I would like to help, God, like, you help them if you want to, but that's on you. Oh, this boy, you're not so excited today. Not getting a lot of joy and jubilation and stuff. But am I telling the truth?
Yes.
So, in this season in time, we're learning that obedience is an ongoing practice. Just like wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God. It's an ongoing practice. You don't get it once and one size fits all. That's not how it works. In each and every situation, in all things, make your request known, it says. In all things. And when you make your request known, then you get quiet for his response to your request. And his response to your request is not always in things or your answer, but in the answer that says, but you need to be over here to receive what I'm about to do. You need to surrender this to see me move here. You need to die here to watch my hand move there. Obedience is a practice. It's a daily practice. It's an ongoing practice. It's something that I'm learning every day with all that God is doing for me. I can say, I'm blessed. I don't need to write no list. And part of my mind was saying that. And God said, but you're not on the level that I spoke over you 30 years ago. Not even close. And he didn't even tell me about the financial part. He said, write the list. And I was like, okay, here it is. I was obedient. Put the numbers on it. Oh, numbers. But if I didn't obey, I would have been exposed to where my flank was weak, where my door wasn't locked and the enemy could get in and out. And I was able, because of that, and I still am, because this just happened last week, walking through the process. I've watched deals come in for one company, for FIA, that we've never seen that kind of money in 1 month, as long as we've been in existence. It's crazy. It's not about the money. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the opportunity to obey God and allow God to move in your life the way he wants to. See, obey, and he moves. Going to diversity. I don't know about no diversity. I didn't even want to go to the meeting, that first meeting with United Way. I'm like, I don't need to go there. And at that time, I was ticked at Lindsay anyway. I'm like, I don't want to do nothing with her anymore. Let her just go. I don't want to go. And God said, no, you go. That's last year. You go. You go. And sitting in that meeting, God spoke in such a way that I realized that my life was being realigned in an area that I had been prepared for years and not even knew God was doing. Now I'm in a situation where we're making money that I never would have thought about making doing this a year ago. Now, you need to pay attention to what I'm saying to you. I'm saying some real powerful stuff right here. Because I know as I sit here talking to you all, I'm going to say this very humble but very direct. It may come off arrogant. Work with it. I know what I put in my kids. You may not know. But I do. And I know that there's gifts in your that's worth probably mega millions right now that you're in your complacency and lack of obedience has not stepped into. But I know what's in you. And here's what I'm saying to you. And I remember when you were working for Apple One and she was trying to do recruiting then. And she was not getting any people placed and she wasn't getting any job. And she would call me up crying. This was how many years ago? This was about 9, 10 years ago. I don't know. It was a while ago. She called me crying. They're going to fire me. And I'm going to go, they're not going to fire you. And I'll be on the phone and say, they're not going to fire you. No, I haven't placed people all around me. It's placing people. I'm not placing anybody. I'm like, they're not going to fire you. But they just fired this other girl because she didn't place enough people. I'm like, they're not going to fire you. Why was I saying that? That wasn't no, in Jesus' name, we don't receive it. She would, her behind would have been fired. I had a reason that I made that statement. Because they see what I know God had me put in you. And they're not going to fire you because you, these people are trying to get people placed on jobs. You going after corporations because that's the way I raised you. And they see it and they're waiting for that big day to come. And I'm telling you, they're not going to fire you. And then you landed American Express and put that company on top and you was their biggest earner for the whole time you was there. And just from one position, I said, they're trying to put people in jobs. You going after corporations. They're not going to fire you. I know what I put in you. I know what I put in you. Just because you're not using it don't mean it's not in there. I know what I put in you. I know what I put in you. I know what I put in you. So what destiny, what place that you never planned in going into, what business that has been already set up for you and you plan to do successfully right now and go out and kill it and clean. Right now, that you haven't let God expose to you. Because if you say, I'm available, he'll expose it. He'll open doors for you that no man can shut. There's no way nobody should have been telling me in diversity in 6 months that I was an expert. No way. But it was true in the spirit because without me knowing it, God had been training me for diversity before I knew it, even for me managing you and winding up being on Broadway. All of that was part of my preparation. All of that was part of my training. When you first started working with me, you say, you know, you say that word too much. You know, that word, the little jokes I used to make, the little gay jokes I used to make 10 years ago. And you used to say, but you can't be here and say that. You go in the studio, you could get away with that, but you can't. Dude, these things, I'll say what I want to say. I'm going to tell me what I can say. You know, and God had to say to me, shut up and listen to the girl. Outside of your little room and outside of your little church, there's a bigger world. And I started preaching that. There's a bigger world out there. And I have to conform. To be all things to all men. I don't have to become them, but I have to be able to reach them. And I can't reach them being comfortable with my hood language. I had to grow. I had to change. I had to become better. Just in the past couple of months, I had to learn about my temperament, the way I express things. I have all female partners. My God, you know, why are you so sensitive? God's like, okay, everybody can't be wrong, son. If you know it's all females and you know that they respond to that kind of tone in a certain way, why don't you just seek me for a different tone? That's a die to self, isn't it? And I did. And you all said, your tone is different. We appreciate your tone. Because I realized, just because it's my right opinion, it'll make it right to everybody. It's only right to me. And maybe very right to me. You ever see somebody get their little car and they put all this in there and all this stereo systems and this and that and the other? This car's about rough $80,000 now. Not in Kelly Blue Book. It's only still worth $25,000. I don't care how much equipment you put in there. It's worth that much to you.
Right.
It's worth that to you. Get in an accident and see what the insurance company pay you. They're not paying you for your suicide doors on your Volkswagen Jetta. They're just not going to do it. They're not paying for that. So I had to learn that things that are valuable to me have to pass the litmus test of being valuable to God.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What say you, Father? I have every right to stand where I stand. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. I have a strong opinion about this. I feel very passionate about it. But passion doesn't override being obedient to God. So now I understand in a new way, and probably for the first time in my life, something that I've read in the scriptures a million times but never really got. John the Baptist's line, I must decrease, he must increase. I must cease to be, he must flourish. I must have less to say, he must have more. I have to surrender myself with my free will like a spiritual robot to his desire. Oh, I said that prayer last year. I did that. Last year, we're screwed. Because if that's the last time you did it, we are messed up. Because within that year, the old you creeped back in and took over time 7. So, let's bring this home. I'm learning that in obedience there's surrender. And surrender is not an act of the flesh. It's a commitment to the Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. Surrender is not an act of the flesh. It's a commitment. Say the word commitment.
Commitment.
What does that mean?
Be faithful to it.
Go ahead. Keep going. Huh? It's consistent. Go ahead. How many of you have bought a car on credit in your life? A car or anything on credit? Got a credit card. It's a commitment. Every month, even if you set it on auto pay, it's still a commitment. That means you are committed to having a job or something to make sure that money's there when they'll take their auto pay. Some of you didn't raise your hand. Netflix account. Call it whatever you want. You got a monthly. You signed an agreement. There's a commitment. And to keep that service, you have to uphold your part of that commitment. Walking in obedience is a commitment. But it's not auto pay. You got to intentionally write the check.
Yes.
Every month, every week, every day. You have to write the check. And so, even at this stage and age of my life, I'm learning that my surrender, get ready for what I'm about to say now, How many of you know you've surrendered your life to God? But surrender does not constitute commitment. You have to go in every day and sign into your account and check in. I surrender to you to do it, but now the maintenance is mine. Not in trepidation, not in worry, not in fear, just what you're feeling right now. In peaceful, quiet surrender. Every day, Father, I will wake up and I will seek you out. If I'm not saying get up every morning and pray before you run out the house. This isn't anybody trying to change your prayer life and give you no laws and rules to follow. If he checks you at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock in the morning before you go to bed or whenever it is, that's between you and Daddy. Some people, how many of you have your morning prayer every time before you get up? Like before I start my day, I have my morning quiet time with God. 1, 2, 3, 4. See? How many of you say somewhere during the course of the day or before I go out the door or whatever, I do my thing. Boom, that's your thing. How many of you late at night before you go to bed, that's when I do my thing. But you follow what I'm saying? It's a personal relationship. How many of you do a little bit of all of that? Because the more you check in, the better off you are. Listen, I like to check in several times a day. Sometimes I get so busy and I don't check in, and you know, I hear the alarm going off. And I hit snooze. And then I get bit on my ankle, and I'm like, oh, check it. I don't want it to creep up the leg. Watch your tone. Watch how much you think you know. To he who think he stand, take heed lest he fall. Be still. Check in. Commit to surrendering to obedience every day. And watch the flow of God begin to increase in your life. And if the flow slows down, check your obedience gauge. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Amen.